That is Nick Page. I'm Dr. McBoop, and this is Challengers and Champions. On this episode, I've got a couple of interesting interviews I'd like to share with you. First off, I'll be talking with one of Orsa Dynasty Cup's newest GMs, Hekka. We talk a bit about what it's like to take over an already existing franchise in Dynasty Cup and some of the challenges that it brings. After that, we'll hear from one of Dynasty Cup's original GMs, CDRCH. We discuss about how this season has gone so far for him and his teams, and what he hopes to accomplish over the rest of the season and beyond. So, without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Hekka and hear what he has to say. We got there. So did you watch RLCS today?
Oh yeah. It's a shame the grand final was a little disappointing, but
yeah, I'm.
The rest of it was pretty good.
I only got to watch. I watched the lower final, the losers final, whatever they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the grand final, and the losers final was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, the winners final was also. Gale Force versus Method,
mm-hmm.
and it was much better than the grand final. Like, it went to seven games. It was
4-3.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just that grand final was not too entertaining.
No,
although the Spanish cast was way better.
Oh, there's a Spanish cast now?
Oh yeah, there was a Spanish cast.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, I.
They just go. Did they do that?
No, they didn't do that, but, hang on, I got sent a clip of, here we go, of the ceiling shot.
Oh, that was sick.
Yeah, this is the Spanish cast of the ceiling shot.
A falta de un minuto le queda a Cloud9 para rectificar el error.
Lo va a intentar, eh? Squishy desde las alturas el canadiense.
Oh my god, I didn't actually see it from that angle live. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
¿De dónde ha salido este chico? ¿De dónde ha salido este chico?
Oh my, that goalie didn't stand a chance.
Nope.
Este hombre nació.
It's the beauty of ceiling shots.
Porque fíjate el control aéreo que tiene.
Yeah, just,
yeah, that was a lot more exciting than the English stream. Yeah, that was...
It just doesn't exist in the NA casts.
Yeah, that was something else. Like, the NA casts, I like them. Like... They're professional.
The hype is good too.
Anyway, Dynasty Cup. That's what we're here to talk about. And this is your first season GMing, is it not?
It is.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I played in season one Ground Boys, made it to the grand finals of the minor league playoffs, and
who was GM at that time?
That was Salvo. He was GM for the first two seasons, and unfortunately lost the season one finals, moved to the Sky Boys season two, which is where we added the Premier League. First season was just major and minors, and I was on the minor team. Major team season two, and then I'm GMing this season and not playing because frankly GMing has a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, there's a lot of time that goes into that. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself, the Hekka, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, Hekka, the man, the myth, the legend.
I like
Rocket League.
When'd you start playing?
I started playing in December of 2015.
So not too long after it came out.
Yep, not too long. I got a 4-pack on the Steam Winter Sale, like the year that it came out. And, got it for me and four of my friends.
Nice.
And I think I've bought a total of 7 copies of Rocket League now.
Are all of those copies still active?
No.
Just you.
Oh no. There's a few that are still active, but they're not all.
Not all.
No. Let's see. I 2 for me. One so that somebody else could have a Smurf so that we could just go do stupid things and, not try to win and instead just go have fun. And then 4 for my friends, 2 of which are still active, I think. Maybe 3.
That's a pretty good rate.
I know that for sure one is not. So yeah, it's not bad.
So what else would do you want our listeners to know about yourself? Other than you like Rocket League?
I'm just kind of me. I got a beard. I'm not, the roll safe meme guy, which apparently people associate with. I am fairly certain that I am not the roll safe meme guy, even though that is my avatar.
I just associate that with you now.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people do. Like, every time people's like, you've seen Hecker, right? Like, they literally... apparently, I've been told that when people see, like, my actual picture, that they're really thrown off because...
you're not a smooth black man.
Man pointing at his forehead. Like...
Turns out you're actually just the whitest.
Yep, white guy with a beard. Don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
So, how long have you been involved with Orsa?
I don't actually remember when I joined. It was late 2016, early 2017? It's been around a year. I don't remember exactly how long I've been here, though.
Yeah, I don't think I know either. I could probably look it up, but what's the point?
Yeah, that'd take way too much time for real benefit.
And you have been with Dynasty Cup since you were drafted in the first draft?
Yep, I've been Dynasty Cup since season one.
So, for this coming season, what are your goals, and in future seasons, what are your goals?
I think I really just want to build a solid team in my image instead of Salvo's image. This season I, kind of had to take over Salvo's decisions, some of which I wouldn't have made myself, some of which I would have, so I really just kind of want to be able to build a foundation for what I think, the franchise will need to be successful.
Do you have any idea what that might be?
Not without giving away trade secrets.
Oh, that's fair. You gotta keep that close to the vest. I understand.
Exactly.
I won't tell anybody.
No. Unfortunately, we're recording for a podcast. I can't,
I forgot.
Can't give that out.
I forgot.
Yeah.
So, who are the players on your roster that you think everybody needs to look out for?
So I'm just go down the list. Premier, Major, Minor, Premier. Obviously, I have Krios. I traded for Ryzai, and I think that those two are going to be really big impact players. They are both normally only available one day a week, but they're available opposite days of the week. So I'm kind of hoping that, hey, I've got this high level player on Monday, and then I basically picked up Ryzai to fill that same role on Wednesdays.
What about the two of those guys makes them players to look out for?
They're just really high. They're just really, really good. Ryzai
like
is
X Factor,
big on the passing
or they've
game.
Got like certain things. I'm sorry.
They just play a lot faster than the people in this league, I guess. I don't really know much to, how else to really say it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just good. Ryzai has been really close to Grand Champ the last two seasons, and Krios has been Grand Champ. He was one of the really good pickups from Savo. He, first season RLCS, he was on a top 16 team with Kalik, who is no longer with this franchise. He stopped doing Dynasty. He just kind of retired from Rocket League. He was in the Universal Open, so they're just really good players.
Yeah, I know Ryzai, is that how you pronounce that?
Mm-hmm.
Ryzai,
yep.
He's pretty active on the Discord server. Always,
yes, he
always
is.
Always looking to play. And
yep.
that's gotta be great for team morale.
Yeah, I traded for him, traded my first round, not the actual draft pick itself, but I traded the guy that I picked up in the first round draft pick this season for Ryzai. And I think it worked out well for me. The guy that I picked up was Memlo. I don't think he was working out incredibly well with the guys that I had, because I had Barbie, who is no longer in the league because
reasons.
But he was banned because he decided to say something stupid. But he had a very polarizing and a very interesting playstyle that was difficult to play with, and it's just one of those you kind of know if someone's going to be able to play with that playstyle or not. And Memlo wasn't, so I traded him for Ryzai because I think Ryzai worked better with what I was going with, and even without Barbie, Barbie was, I think, an important player for my franchise and my premier team specifically. I think he was a good impact player, but I don't think that he was irreplaceable, and I'm working on trying to find somebody to fill that spot right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good mindset to have for it. You want to keep your players, but just being able to have the flexibility to slot somebody else's at the same level in, I think, is important.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely.
At the major level, on your team, who
at the major level, I specifically picked three players to be my major starters that I thought would be capable of playing in Premier. If, maybe not maybe not like super standouts, although I actually, one of my starters subbed up here on Wednesday and dominated. So, if he can keep that up, then he's probably going to be the one to take Barbie's spot. But, I've got Ames, who is really good at receiving passes and just a good all around player. I've got Cineo, who is always looking to make a pass, and again is just a really solid all-around player. They're both a champ, and then I also have Krasaka, who is an Orsa veteran. I think he did like BLS way back in the day.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Krasaka.
Yep. And he's just again another really solid all-around player, and he's the one that subbed up on Wednesday and just did really well. So I'm gonna have him try out with the guys that he didn't play with on Wednesday. Gonna have him play with them on Monday and see if he's a good fit with them as well, and if he is, I'm probably gonna push him up.
And on the minor level, same question.
On the minor level, I didn't really pick up anybody that I thought would be like a carry for minor, because I was very happy with Trapak and Gotmot and Blackhawk, although I promoted Blackhawk to mages this season. But Trapak and Gotmot are just kind of the foundation of my miners team. Trapak is just a really solid player. His rotations are solid. He looks to pass. That kind of thing. The stuff that, you know, will make him more and more successful as time goes on. And Gotmot is just really aggressive, which we really need. So I kind of rotate. You know, I try to rotate my teams. And I picked up NBA Stud, who is also another really aggressive player like Gotmot. Mm-hmm. So we should have a really high-powered offense. So really, really looking forward. There's been a few kinks and a few compatibility issues, but you know, I'm looking and trying to get those worked out and seeing what can happen later in the season.
Do you have any particular strategy for picking players at certain levels, or are you just looking at players on just franchise as a whole?
I generally pick kind of at, you know, certain levels. You know, hey, I think this will be a good fit. I try to look for synergy with the existing team, right? So if I know that I want to pick up a player, I'll have him play with, you know, if I think that, you know, he's major or minor capable, I'll have him play with the major team and the minor team and see where he, you know, fits in best. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really like, you know, oh, I'm going to pick up this player for the franchise. It's definitely, you know, I'm picking for each individual team.
Okay, so what are your strategies at each level? Or do you, it just kind of whatever goes with the team is what you're going to do?
Yeah, it's kind of the latter there. I don't have anything in particular. Pre-draft, I talked to my guys and said, you know, hey, what do you think we were missing this season? You know, what should I be looking for in the draft? And then I rated all of the people that I saw in the combines on this huge list of, like, I had like 13 or 14 things that I rated them, you know, S for premier, B for major, A for major, B for minor, and C for just like, no, don't. They don't have this skill, probably avoid this player, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I gave a little more weight to, you know, the people that had what we needed. But yeah, I'm looking mostly for synergy within my team is really what I want, is, you know, for my guys to all play well together.
Yeah, that all makes sense. Are there any particular players on opposing teams that make you nervous this season, or because we're four games deep into the season right now? Are there any that you're happy that you're glad to have played and gotten out of the way?
Let me go look at the schedule, because I know that we had a couple. I know that we've already played CD's team, which he has Dominipple on. Dominipple, who is like champ 3 and was, you know, close. Like, he was second place majors for season 1, and then he was off season 2, and now he's back, and he's on the major instead of the premier team. And I think CD's intent was definitely to have him be a carry.
Mm-hmm.
But we already played them. We 2-2'd. I think it was 2-2. Against them, and unfortunately, you know, most of my concerns are majors teams. I don't think any of the teams that I'm thinking about are like, you know, oh, my premier team's gonna, you know, really struggle. Like, obviously, you know, you have the really high end players in premier, like,
mm-hmm,
Wally Dose, Dead Cow, all of that. But, you know, their teams kind of have to take their really high MMRs and work around that and give them kind of lower MMR teammates. So it all kind of balances out, you know?
Right.
So I think the major is a lot more flexible given the amount of skill that's in it. So I think a lot of the teams that I'm concerned about are kind of the majors level. People like Dominipple, people like Zerotherm, who, you know, was on Premier last season, started this season and dropped himself down to majors and moved one of his majors guys up to Premier. Just the really, like, the people that kind of brought themselves into that league with the intention of carrying their team, those are the ones that, you know, obviously I think everybody's concerned about. And then other players like Creature on the Kings, just really, really strong player at the majors level.
Yeah, all those players I've seen play in various places around Orsa, and like you said, they're all good. It's crazy that that's the top tier of the major as opposed to somewhere in Premier. Just the skill in this league is so much higher than I thought it would be when we started it.
Oh yeah, the I think the average player is like Diamond. There's Diamond people in the minor league. I think there might even be a guy, he started last season in gold and ended last season at, like, champ.
Yeah, I know there's at least one champ in minor league at the moment.
In minor league, yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, is that's a minor league player. So, yeah. Like, the skill is ridiculously high compared to what I think everybody was expecting.
Yeah,
but definitely. That's what happens when, you know, you put these guys in an environment where they can actually
succeed.
Like, actually improve.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, grinding out solo standard, no, I think I'm getting better, you can play against the higher rated people and have them say, you know, this is what you're doing wrong, this is what you should work on, and all of a sudden you have this, you know, just kind of roadmap to improvement.
Yeah. Let's circle on back to your team in particular. Mm-hmm. And what are your team's records at the moment at each level?
My teams, I'm actually going to have to go to the site and look it up because I don't remember off the top of my head, so give me just a second here.
I'll play the...
They're not fantastic right now, but that's okay. Like I said, I'm looking at, you know, building on what I was given and going from there. So my Space Boys are 7-9.
And that's your Premier League?
That's my Premier team, yep. My Majors team, the Sky Boys, are also 7-9. And my Ground Boys are, which is my minors, are 4-12. So
Premier,
definitely got a
Premier, sorry. And Major just one game off of a 500 record. One of those flips the other way, which is, I mean, really, if I were running a team, that's the bar right there. Is you want to be even.
Yep.
So that's
and,
pretty good.
Definitely have had some snafus. I think we, on Major, we got 3-1 on Wednesday because I, you know, my guys had been warming up with Chris all day. Like, 2 hours they'd been warming up, and then last minute had to sub him up to Premier because one of the guys was stuck in traffic.
Oh, that's rough.
On his way home. Yeah. So it was one of those, like, you know, it's... I think we have the... what we need in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, having it all come together on game day is another,
exactly.
Another story entirely.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So do you have a prediction for the rest of the season? Do you think we're going to see improvement, staying the same?
I definitely think we're going to see improvement. I think that once my Majors guys and Premier guys really start settling in, I think they're going to do really good things, and I'm working with my Minors guys to help them get better every day. So definitely looking for improvement. I'm not so worried about the standings with the wild card play-in. Mm-hmm. You know, the fifth-place team isn't necessarily just out. Instead, they play the fourth place team for that last spot in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at the season, you know, as use the season to get to where you need to be.
Yeah,
playoffs,
peak at the right time, know? Sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Because that's usually how it works. Is it's not the best team throughout the season who wins. Usually, it's the team that peaks come playoff time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So as far as Dynasty Cup and Orisa are concerned, what would you like to see that become over the next year?
Dynasty Cup, I would just really like to see it grow. I think that the league format, for a game called Rocket League, the league format is woefully underrepresented. And I think that there's a lot of potential within the league format, and especially if we can get some kind of real prize pool, I think that we could even attract, like, professional players to it. You know, we already have, like, Wally Dose is a top 100 player, and he's here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's it going to take to get additional, you know, to get professional-level players?
I will say Orsa as a whole has had quite a few top 100-level players. Ty Lacto, a member mm-hmm. of, which team was he a part of for RLCS?
He was on Secret, right?
He was
in RLCS this season.
Yeah, he was literally, he was part of mm-hmm. Orsa for a very long time. And I think it probably is prize pool that will start actually attracting them. And
a few of my higher level players are actually friends with a few of the pros. And mm-hmm. Literally when I was assessing replacements for Barbie on Wednesday or Thursday, one of them, you know, was talking to one of their buddies and was like, hey, come help judge these guys. So I actually had one of the guys from Onslaught, one of the U.S. like RLRS level teams.
Uh-huh.
I had, you know, him in there actually looking at people and
really
giving me feedback afterwards as well.
So yeah. You've got some scouts now.
Yeah, I've got some scouts. I got some scouts.
It's hot.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Yeah,
and really all he did was give Krios crap the entire time, but it was a lot of fun.
Sure, but just having him in the room, that's step one, is getting him in the room.
Mm-hmm, exactly, but yeah, I mean, you know, he was in there, and that's what he said was, you know, he thought that a prize pool is really all it would take because it's a really cool concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll have to discuss that.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think we're there yet.
No, I don't. We're not there
honestly
yet.
There'd probably need to be some kind of sponsorship in place because otherwise it would be Patreon and it wouldn't be. You know, a consistent prize. But I love the concept of
Patreon itself, just like mm-hmm. having the people watching and participating, just giving whatever they can. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. But the sponsorship is a lot more consistent is the word.
Yes. And I think a consistent prize pool is what we would need for that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that Cloudfuel joined the server as well. That would be, it'd be really cool to see, you know, if they have something that they want to do with Dynasty, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything in the works or not. This is just my speculation on being like, oh, hey, Cloud Fuel's here.
Well, we'll stay quiet on that. Just let the speculation run wild on that. Do you think there are any other steps we could take to achieve some of those goals, or just kind of let's see where we go and not try to shoot for anything too far out of our reach?
Well, you know, me as a person, I'm very go with the flow. So, I don't necessarily think, like, this is the, you know, individual roadmap to being like, yeah, we're gonna have pro players here, as much as, you know, hey, this is where we're at now, this seems like a good step to go in, let's go there, right?
Right.
So I'm not really the idea man, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, I don't think I really have much else for you on that.
That's fair enough. I think that's actually going to do it for this. Is there anything you want to plug? Any players' streams or your own stream, maybe, that you want to plug? Twitter? You know, anything like that?
Let people know
what's going on.
I don't have a Twitter. I don't have a stream. I'm just here, man.
You're just here for the fun.
I'm just here for Dynasty. I really like Dynasty. I think that Dynasty is the future of Orsa. I think it's by far the most successful thing that Orsa's done, that, you know, since I joined. You know, we have hundreds of players now that have come through Dynasty, and it's only 3 seasons old. So, you know, I think we're doing the right thing. You know, there's improvements to be made, obviously, but on the whole, I think that it's just a really good, you know, good concept.
I don't think anybody disagrees with you right now.
Yep.
And thank you. You've been Hekka, am I correct?
Yeah, I have been Hekka,
you
yes.
Have been
I don't
Hekka.
Think I ever introduced myself at the beginning. But I assume that you're going to do that in the actual podcast.
Yeah, I'll do something along those lines.
All right.
I definitely won't give you a rude nickname to start off with.
I better not open that up and be like, and with me today is Beta, Jared.
I don't know. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Uh-huh.
I just want it
to be, you know, out there. I won the 1v1. I'm Alpha Jared.
There is no proof of any of that. Thank you for having a conversation with me. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Yep. Thank you very much.
You didn't win anything.
Really? I have witnesses, McBoop. I have witnesses.
Thank you again to Heka for talking for a bit with me. Now, we're going to go listen to my conversation with CDRCH and get the inside scoop onto his and his team experience so far with Dynasty Cup. All the thousands of listeners.
It's going to be like tens of thousands any day now, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Did you get a chance to watch any RLCS? No. I didn't like, Friday or yesterday, but I got a chance to watch the last two matches today.
Zoom, they were pretty good.
The losers final was great. Grand final was underwhelming, to say the least. It was just a sweep. None of the games were close. Well, there was one game that had a 6-minute overtime. I guess that's the definition of close. But it didn't really feel close. Which is unfortunate.
It's more like the winning team screwing up more than the losing team making a comeback.
Yeah, they were really concerned, because it was game four. So they were more concerned about not getting the sweep, I think, than just winning. They were very tentative. Like there was a lot of 2v3s on offense and the other guy hanging back. It was interesting. So you are CDRCH, are you not?
CH.
CDRCH.
Yes. However, you call me CD because that's less of a mouthful.
Do you like being called CD, or you just kind of begrudgingly accept it?
A long time ago I didn't like it. Then I begrudgingly accepted it. Mm-hmm. Then I wholeheartedly accepted it.
So it's grown on you, is what you're saying.
I mean, it's my nickname in real life, so.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. So that's not just an Orsa thing.
Oh.
So is it CD, just the two letters, or do you think of it as CD, SEEDY?
Two letters. Spelling it out like a plant seed with mm-hmm. a Y. I have had many, many, many nicknames.
So
at this point, I'm kind of used to just responding to whatever people say.
Sure. So what do you want? What do you want the people listening to know about yourself? What do you do in your spare time?
What I do in my spare time? Well, I'm a video game developer.
What are you working on right now?
Right now, not much of anything. I'm just trying to deal with college.
What have you worked on in the past?
Let's see. So far I've only had one professional position on a educational game for elementary and middle school students.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching them about biofuels, actually.
What's that like?
Very exciting topic, I know.
Like, what do you think is different from developing an educational game like that versus, you know, something like Rocket League or a AAA title?
I suppose you have different goals, right? Mm-hmm. With Rocket League, when it comes to teaching the players, because no matter what game you're making, you have to teach the players something. With Rocket League, the number one goal for teaching is teaching them how to play Rocket League.
Sure.
For an educational game, you have to teach them not only how to play the game, but how they can knowledge or those skills and apply it to real life. And you have to change the structure of the game sometimes to make sure you're actually able to do both of those things at the same time.
So do you think that doing an educational game, are you able to translate those skills into GMing a team that plays a video game?
Not sure I've ever thought about it like that, but I suppose there's some stuff in common.
So as far as Dynasty is concerned and you GMing your teams, what are your goals for this season and in future seasons?
Well, I think the obvious one is to win in all three leagues. But specific, I have a goal of chemistry of my players, getting them to work well together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, pretty sure every GM has that goal.
Yeah, Hedka talks a lot about that when we spoke earlier.
I guess specifically, I'm looking to get a few trios on each level that work really well together, and that I can throw in any of those trios and be confident that we have a good shot winning that series.
So you mean like a few trios on each of your teams in each league, like not necessarily three players and then two guys that kind of slot in, whatever, but just three of the five guys, but some of those guys are parts of two or three different trios?
Exactly. Like, I don't want to necessarily go with the traditional concept of having three starters and then subs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may end up that way for some of my teams. I'm still, honestly, trying out different combinations, even though season's almost halfway over. And I like the idea of having subs who are as much a team as starters. So I try not to think of it too much as these are my starters and these are my subs. I have one trio, which is these three players. And I have another trio. Strong. They're still working on playing better with each other, made up of these three players.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another backup trio made of these three players.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of looking at it, because you've got five players on the roster, and you want to be able to have as many options as you possibly can.
It's both because I want to have a lot of options, but also I want all my players to be able to, in our most definitely upcoming wins this season. I'm just going to be confident there. When we win this, I want all the players to feel like they've had a part in it.
Sure. Yeah, feeling like you contributed to the victory is super important.
And of course, part of feeling like you've contributed is actually contributing.
Yep.
So,
yeah, the illusion of contribution, not quite the same as actual contribution.
Yeah. I don't want to tell my players, like, here's a participation medal. Here's the medal we've got, the hypothetical medal that we've won this season. You 100% earned that by playing well in games, by helping your teammates, by showing up for scrims and practices.
Yeah, every little bit helps.
Everything else, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So who are the players on your roster this season that people should be on the lookout for? Or you can go with trios if you want. However, whichever you think. Just what about your team should people be on the lookout for this year or this season?
I guess going team by team, Bismarck is a player who I think everyone should be very, very afraid of.
Any particular reason?
Because, well, throwback to season one of Boost Cup.
And just to clarify, Bismarck is a premier level player?
On the Hurricanes, premier.
Mm-hmm.
And Boost Cup was on my team as our top player. And the thing that I liked about playing with him was not only was he very skilled at the game mechanically and tactically, he was able to share that experience with others. He's a very good teacher, and he's also very good at playing down to players who aren't quite at his level yet.
Mm-hmm.
I bet I could pick any player out of not just my premier team, but out of the 15, any two other players, and give them a little time, I bet Bismarck could play well with them. Playing pretty well with basically all of the Hurricanes. It's going to be interesting when we get to the playoffs this season.
Yeah, I think the just being able to adapt to your teammates is a very underrated skill.
oh yeah, that's why I went from number one in the draft this season. He's very good at playing Rocket League, and he's very good at playing Rocket League with teammates.
So what about at the major and minor levels? Any players on your teams that you think stand out?
Dom Manipple stands out pretty clearly on the major team, the Tornadoes.
Heck, I called him out by name as well.
I think a lot of people called him out by name.
Yeah, it'll be interesting going forward in the rest of these, how many people say Dom Manipple.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Dom is returning from season one, having been on my team. And he was most definitely my top player at the time. He was my number one, he was my first pick in the draft that season. And now he's back, but not on the premier team.
Yeah, for those of you who want to watch some of Dom's play, if you want to look back at some old Boost Cup games, he was on a couple different teams. Most notably, on the DL was the championship team in season six. You can go watch some replays there. He's a very good player.
Very famous or infamous?
Infamous, yeah.
But yeah, no, he's a very solid player. He was a good captain season one, and now he's back being a good captain this season.
And but the minor level, who do people need to be on the lookout for?
There's several I could say at the moment. I am going to say three players, actually.
Okay.
Bonekin and Slayer.
Bonekin, I've also an alumni of Boost Cup, also a very good player.
Oh, yeah. All three of them are diamond or better players. Majestic and Bonekin are touching on champ.
It's so crazy that minor league has
that's
diamond
minor league?
And champ level players. Like, this league, like, I talked about this with Hecko before as well. Like, the league is just, like, the skill is just so much higher than I think we thought it was ever going to be when we started it.
Oh yeah. I remember season one, we had just a handful of champ level players at the top tier, and we were just like, okay, most of the teams were just thinking, okay, what can we do to counter the few teams with champ players?
Mm-hmm. I think it's and like we've added other champ players, but more than that, a lot of those players from season one have gone from those low levels that they were before to becoming champs now. Which I think speaks for the league as it's the league in itself. Like, this is we want everybody to improve, and that's been happening.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of players. I'm looking at the rosters for all the teams right now, and there's just so many players who I at least four ranks, a whole tier, since they joined in season two.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't that long ago. That was the beginning of August. That was 3 months ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm saying all three of those players on the Tropical Storms, look out for them. Especially when they say Slayer. Of pure skill, but because he's a really good captain and good at reorganizing the team whenever the rotations start to slip up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a particular strategy for picking players at certain levels, or do you find yourself focusing on the franchise as a whole and just kind of sticking people in holes where they need to be filled?
So I don't really like any strategy that ends up where you just sort of have to stick players in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens a little because of caps.
Sure.
But for the most part, I'm looking for those trios, right? Those groups of players with really good chemistry. Like, I'll see three players. Okay, they've got really good chemistry, and they're roughly at one of these levels. They're like premier-ish, major-ish, whatever. And then I try to find a fourth player who works good with at least two of those other three. And then a fifth player who works well with at least two of the other four. for the most part, that's how I was able to build my teams this season.
Mm-hmm. And that's been working out so far?
I mean, I think so. Everyone can look at the standings to see how that's working out. Yeah,
that's actually going to be my next question. What are your team's records at the moment?
All right. Having to pull them up just to make sure I don't quite get this wrong. Lions are 5-11. We're doing much better, but we had an unfortunate 0-4 loss on Wednesday. Tornadoes are 9-7, top of their division. And Tropical Storms are 6-10, middle of their division.
So the Hurricanes are your premier level team. The Tornadoes are your major. And your Tropical Storms are the minor level?
Yes, yes.
As far as the rest of the season is concerned, what do you think is going to happen as far as your teams go?
The Hurricanes recently had a big loss. The good news is I know exactly why that happened.
That is good news.
I know exactly that the other two teams need to work with as well. And since we know now, before the season's half over, exactly what we need to work on,
mm-hmm.
our teams to make it all the way to the top of the playoffs, if we can just take those issues that we've identified. I identified before, but it's really we, myself and the captains and the players working together to figure out where our weaknesses, where their weaknesses are.
Yeah. Hekka said some similar things. And what I said was like, it's more about peaking at the right time with when the league is and the format is structured like this. Like, the regular season matters, but you win championships in the playoffs, not the regular season. So if you can learn your weaknesses and turn those into strengths somehow and peak come playoff time, that's how you win.
Although you don't even necessarily have to hit your peak if you're just climbing up the mountain faster than everyone else.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. So as far as climbing that mountain, who are the players on other teams that are standing in your way?
Oh boy. Well, looking at premier level, I suppose one of the most concerning trios is on the Aces. Walidos, Apocalypse, a very tough lineup to deal with. Apoc is one of the players I identified during the draft this season as whoever gets him is, especially if he gets in a starting lineup that has good chemistry, mm-hmm. it's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, most definitely.
With those other two, Ashley Walidos, it's a little scary.
I know he's a top 100 level player right now, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's very good. I haven't seen him play, but I've heard he's very good. So as far as the major and minor tiers are concerned, are there any players that you think stand out, like, in standing in your way?
There are a few here and there. I don't know if I would identify any, like, particular teams as being a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Some players, like Super Saiyan Scott Sterling, have given us problems in past seasons. Creature is another player who has given us a lot of trouble in past seasons, so on the lookout for them.
Yeah, probably no different this season if they've been in your way in the past.
Another boost throwback, Krasaka is on the Sky Boys.
Mm-hmm.
He's another player to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, there are probably infinite videos of Chris Haka showing off his skill. If you want to look through the Orsa archives. So that's enough as far as teams are concerned. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what you'd like to see Dynasty Cup and Orsa turn into and try and focus on over the next year or so.
The reason I came to Orsa was in thanks to the slogan Rocket League for Everyone. That's always been Orsa's shtick, the thing that's kind of differentiated it from all of the other orgs out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because while most orgs accept everyone, there's generally at least a very strong implication of you must be this skilled to ride this ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yes.
I got into Orsa. I don't even know if I had actually touched ranked yet.
Really?
Like barely. I may have had less than a dozen games under my belt in ranked. I was something like, shoot, it wasn't even silver. It was prospect.
Yeah,
prospect. Maybe
yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
you joined, I believe it was July of last year, was it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't the beta season of Orsa Classic.
Yeah, it was.
But it was right at the start of season one. I got in with some friends doing 3v3 and also the 1v1.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't exactly perfect. It wasn't exactly what I was looking for.
Right.
But over time, it's changed. Well, I guess Dynasty is roughly what I was looking for, it seems.
Yeah.
I guess the biggest thing for me with Orsa and Dynasty is those Prospect 2 players, even the Prospect 1 players, so to speak, a chance to get involved in Rocket League without having to necessarily dedicate their lives to getting good.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, like what we were saying earlier, there's Diamonds and Champs dominating the minor league.
Yeah, we're working on it. You know,
I know.
We
and of course, it
got so good so fast. Like that's what's crazy to me.
Oh yeah, like I enjoy the fact we've got the development league in place now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also hoping that main bulk of Dynasty itself, the main teams, ends up expanding more vertically. So there's more spots for lower level players. Right now, I have too many free agents who are below platinum,
mm-hmm.
just a handful. I think that if we opened up the space for them and we made it clear that, hey, this is not a league for diamonds and champs. This is not even a league for platinum. This is for everyone we can get in. Then I think those people will come
mm-hmm.
into platinums and diamonds and champs. But in those early stages or stage for those of us who don't play that much Rocket League, or at least don't spend that much time working exclusively on our then it'd be nice to have a spot for those players.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to bring us about 20 minutes or so. I think, is there anything that you'd like to plug? Do you have a stream or stream your player streams that you want to plug? Twitter, anything like that?
I don't have any streams. I will say that Majestic Wolf, he streams basically all of our minor league matches.
Is that twitch.tv/suggestedwolf?
Yep. I believe, I hope I'm not getting this wrong, Slayer is also been streaming our minor league games. I don't know the URL off the top of my head.
He spells Slayer with like 14 R's, doesn't he?
Possibly. I'm not sure. But I'm sure he'll post that link over in Dynasty.
But you've been seedy. And thank you for talking with us.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you again to CD for talking with me. I always enjoy getting the chance to hear about other people's experience with Orsa, and that was definitely no exception. With that, I'm going to bring this episode of Challengers and Champions to a close. I'd like to thank you for listening, and I would like to encourage you to let me know what you'd like to hear out of this podcast going forward. If you have any ideas for guests you'd like to hear or would like to share your Orsa experience with the rest of the community, I'd love to have you on. But until next time, this is Dr. McBoop signing off and reminding you, if you're not listening to the podcast, turn it on.